Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and IceFill technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And by Johnny O. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more. My guest is Charles Meacham, the author of Arnie and Jack, stories of my long friendship with two remarkable men. And Charles Meacham and I go way back to your LPGA commissioner days, Charles, and I'm just so delighted you're on the show.
Well, Anne, it's really a pleasure to be with you again. I remember those days quite well. We had a lot of fun at the LPGA, and you were part of a lot of it.
Well, you have had such an incredible career as an attorney for a major law firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm a Buckeye myself. I was born in Cincinnati and grew up in Brecksville, Ohio, outside
really?
Of Cleveland. Yeah. And then I remember when you were an attorney for Taft Broadcasting,
right.
And a commissioner for the LPGA and an advisor to both Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus. So as Jack has said in the foreword of the book, there isn't a person who knows more about Arnold or Jack than Charles Meacham.
Probably right.
So talk about, who did you meet first? Was it Arnie or Jack?
No, I met Jack in 1950. God knows, but more than 50 years ago. And I was a CEO of Taft Broadcasting, and we were building a golf course on land near an amusement park that we had built north of Cincinnati, Kings Island. And Jack built the course. It was a public course, and he did a fabulous job. So I got to know him then. And then after that, we did a lot of deals together, including my company filmed and distributed the Golf My Way video, which I think is still maybe the best ever. And then we did a lot of other deals over the years. With Arnie, I got to know Arnie during my LPGA days. He'd come out to tournaments and played in some of the mixed events. But then the last event of my LPGA tenure was at PGA West, and we were not far from there living in the desert. And I went down to wish Jack and Arnie well. They were playing together in a team event. And Arnie said, hey, I've been meaning to call you. Could we have a beer after my round? And I said, well, yeah. So we did that. And typical Arnie, we sit down at the table. He buys me a beer and one for himself. And then he says, I want you to come in and run all my companies. And I just about fell off the chair. But to make a long story short, I wasn't able to be a full-time person with him because I had other commitments in Cincinnati, but I was able, and he and I are together, we're able to work out an arrangement where I became a consultant and shared an office with him, and my wife Marilyn and I moved to Bay Hill, and so that started a long friendship and a close friendship until he died.
Wow, to be that close as an advisor to both Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer, two of the greatest icons in golf, Charles, is quite special.
Yeah. I never took it for granted. Every day that I was with them, I really was conscious of what I was doing and what I was blessed to be part of.
And so how would you describe the key to their success, I guess, individually and then collectively?
Arnie's success, obviously, he was one of the great golfers of all time. But beyond that, I honestly don't think I've ever known anybody with more charisma and more outreach than Arnie. And you know this as well as I do. The galleries loved him. They loved him whether he played well or not. And so although he was a Hall of Fame player, I think charisma was his strongest point. Jack, I think simply the awesome nature of his talent was the thing that I think people really reached out to. He was an unbelievable golfer, and the people argue forever and about who's the GOAT, but with old timers like me, Jack's the man.
Sure. I mean, 73 PGA Tour titles, 18 majors for Jack Nicklaus, Arnold with 62 titles, 7 majors. Is it fair to say that Jack always wanted Arnold's adoration and Arnie always wanted Jack's records?
I think they, at first, of course, it was a little stressed because Arnie was being challenged by Jack. But as the years went on and they became genuinely good friends and spent a lot of time off the golf course, their wives, Winnie and Barb, were extremely close, great admirers of one another. And so it went beyond just golf and became a genuinely personal friendship.
It's very difficult for rivals like that to become such good friends, don't you think? Were you surprised by how close they were, and you know, until the very, very end? I mean, they were just admired each other, respected each other greatly. And as you say, the families really enjoyed each other.
I don't know that I was surprised. I think I was surprised that it happened as soon as it did. But that was the guys. I tell it, one of the stories in my book, and it's under the heading of Oops. Marilyn and I went to dinner one night with Kit, Arnie's second wife, and Arnie at Palmer's Restaurant in La Quinta. And I don't know why I got on the subject of aging and maturing and so on. And I said, you know, I've come to believe that when you have finally matured is when you meet someone who is better at what you do best. And then I thought, oh my God, why did I say that? But Arnie got me right off the hook. He said, yeah, the minute I saw Jack, I knew. So it was that he was, Arnie had very little ego. And when he saw somebody who could play better, he acknowledged it. And, you know, the old, what's the old line? And about God appearing in Jack, one of Jack's dreams. And God said, oh, Jack, people really love your golf. You're a great golfer. And Jack is loving this. And then God says, but, you know, they love Arnie more. Arnie just was special, but they became good friends.
And you're right about Arnold's charisma. There was not a more charismatic personality in all of sport. You know, I'm talking from Muhammad Ali, who people adored, to, gosh, yeah, Michael Jordan. I mean, Arnold Palmer was the king, literally, in that
department. Exactly right. No one came close, in my opinion.
And talk a little bit more about their rivalry. I remember reading where Jack Nicklaus said the rivalry started at a driving contest. He was 18 and he drove it 40 yards past Arnie. Jack said he shot a 63. Arnie shot a 67. He was trying to remember when the rivalry started, and he thought that's when it started. Is that how you understand it? Or,
well, if you had Arnie's version, he would say that he outdrove Jack. That's part of the deal. But yes, I know that situation very well, because it took place at the Athens, Ohio Country Club that Dal Finsterwald, another great golfer, invited Arnie and Jack, and they had not met until then. And so they played, and I'm sure gained a lot of knowledge and respect for one another. But Arnie insisted that he had the longest drive. Jack insisted that he did. So part of the game.
I love it. And tell the story about how when you were trying to get them to design a collaborate on the course design.
This was one of my
World Golf Hall of Fame. This is a fun story.
One of my favorite memories. I had a call one day from Tim Fincham, the commissioner of the PGA Tour. And I remember saying to Tim, "Tim, this is an historic moment because I don't remember ever the commissioner of the PGA Tour calling the commissioner of the LPGA and asking for help." And he said, "No," he said, I really do need your help." And I said, "I'll do what I can." He said, "I've been trying to get Arnie and Jack to agree to co-design a golf course at the World Golf Hall of Fame. We'd call it the King and the Bear, and really would be a major thing for the Hall of Fame." So he said, "But I can't get them to do it. They keep saying, oh, you know, we have different philosophies. I don't have time and blah, blah, blah. So would you give it a try?" Well, I did. Met with Jack two or three times, with Arnie two or three times, and they couldn't get their arms around. They kept saying, "Well, I'm not sure I've got time," and blah, blah, blah. So finally, I had a brainstorm. I was with Jack, and I said, "Okay, Jack, I give up, but don't complain to me when you have to play the Trevino Player Course." And he went, "What? What do you mean?" And I said, "We don't think that Tim's just going to abandon this thought. If you and Jack don't do it, you'll turn to Trevino and Player." Oh, my God. Well, I did the same thing with Arnie, and within 3 weeks, spades were in the ground.
Brilliant, brilliant strategy, Charles. I'm talking funny. To Charles Meacham. Arnie and Jack, Stories of My Long Friendship with Two Remarkable Men is the name of this beautiful book. And how would you compare the Arnold-Jack rivalry, Charles, to perhaps Tiger and Phil?
It was fierce, particularly in the early days. Arnie obviously didn't want to be replaced as the king. And by the way, he never liked to be called the king. I don't know whether you knew that or not. Huh. He always said, "Charlie, there is no king of golf." And so he was embarrassed by that. But put that aside for the moment. They were fierce rivals, but they were also extremely sensitive and aware of the other's talent and ability. And I think even in those early days, when there was a lot of ugly comments from Arnie's army, they both respected one another, but they were determined competitors.
And how do you think it was different than Tiger and Phil?
This is a terrible thing to say. I'm not sure that Tiger and Phil were ever that close personally.
Yes.
Maybe they were, but I never had that sense. Arnie and Jack became very close personal friends.
Right. There is an extreme difference just with that. I mean, I think Tiger and Phil tolerate and respect each other, but they aren't chums for sure. Not
that's
like
exactly that's exactly the way I feel. Anne, and you would know that better than most.
Right. Well, as the former commissioner of the LPGA, Charles, I wanted to ask your opinion about some other subjects. What are your thoughts on women's golf and how far it's progressed since you were commissioner? I mean, boy, they've come a long way just in the last, say, 5 to 10 years.
It's amazing. And the reason is the simple reason: there are more good women players from all over the world playing great golf. And I think there was a time when the language barrier perhaps was an issue. I don't think it's much of an issue now. These ladies can communicate effectively. But it's like anything else, Anne. And on the bottom line is talent. And there's simply more talented players from all over the world. And they're getting more and more recognition. And I think that will only continue to grow.
And the prize money has really grown just in the last couple years, which is
great. It has, and that will continue to grow as well.
How about your opinions on LIV Golf, Charles Meacham, as far as how much of a threat do you think LIV Golf will be to the PGA Tour?
Well, as an old guy, I'll be 92 years old in another I'm a traditionalist, and again, I would fall back on my friendship with Jack and Arnie. They love the PGA Tour, and I have no doubt. Well, Jack's already spoken. Arnie would say the same thing. You want to play golf against the greatest players in the world. The money is useful, but it's not important. You all make more money than God. You've all got more money than you ever had. Shouldn't you really want to play to test your talent? Shouldn't you want to play against the greatest players in the world? And to me, that's the biggest negative with the LIV Tour, is you're not playing against the greatest players in the world.
And don't you think legacy and reputation is everything? I asked that question of Rory McIlroy at the U.S. Open, and his answer was yes, and money can't buy legacy and reputation.
Exactly right. And I think that Jack's majors accomplishments mean more to him than any dime he ever made. And with Arnie, he made money, but he made most of his money off the golf course in endorsements. So both of them played golf because of their respect for the sport and the integrity of the game. And I think that was lost with LIV.
Charles Meacham, one of my most fond memories, and it was bittersweet because it was after the 2016 U.S. Open in Oakmont, and Doc Griffin, Arnold's longtime assistant, made it possible for me to go to La Trobe and visit Arnie. And this was June of 2016, and he passed away a few months later. But I'm so appreciative to Doc that he made that possible for me. And of course, I go way back with Arnie from the Golf Channel as being one of the original hosts on the Golf Channel, and all the interviews I did with Arnie through the years when he used to come to Manhattan and visiting him at Bay Hill. And I just wanted to see him so badly at La Trobe, which I did.
Right.
And boy, that those final months were very, very sad. And the memorial service was beautifully done, though. And I just think your book captures so many great stories. Arnie and Jack, stories of my long friendship with two remarkable men. And Charles Meacham, you're remarkable too. Boy, 92 years young, and you're still going strong. It's so great to see.
It's wonderful to see you, and I really appreciate your taking the time to speak with me. You're a real pro, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
And hope to see a Tradition, one of my favorite golf courses in the world. I know Arnie designed the course, and tell me the quick story. You bought the property like the day after he told you to go and check it out.
Well, we still enjoy living there, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll be back there in October.
Charles Meacham, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Golf Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Tourism Ireland. Ireland is open and ready to welcome you back. World-class courses, celebrated links, spectacular scenery, rich culture, and the warmest of welcomes await. Now is the time to get back to the things that matter most. Now is the time for Ireland. Press the green button and start planning at ireland.com/golf. And by iBeCool Athleisure Wear for men and women. Technology meets fashion with iBeCool, stylish UPF 50 plus sun protection, and ice field technology to cool your body temperature on hot and humid days. Look great and protect your skin. iBKUL.com. And by Johnny O. East Coast traditional meets West Coast casual. The best of both worlds apparel for men and boys. Visit www.johnny-o.com to learn more.